Wow. I mean, y'all glad you showed up today. But come on, I mean, y'all glad you showed up today.
Is it?
Guess what? This is the Sunday of joy, and you won. Because there's a whole lot of people today. Guess what they said? Snowing. They probably started listening to the blizzard report here in Bowling Green, which the rest of the world calls snow flurries. But here in Bowling, you know. I want to take you back just a little bit. We're going to talk about joy today, and I want to give you a word, okay? Embrace the day. Embrace the day. Embrace what God might do in the day, in the moment. Go with me to James chapter 1. We're going to talk about joy. We're going to talk about embracing days. We're going to talk about embracing seasons. Life does change. How many of y'all found life does change? Life does change. I'm not going to say always for the better. I'm just going to say life does change is the truth. Now, what you embrace in that life is going to be very important. Let's review quickly on this Advent. We're kind of looking at it from a different perspective. God gives all, and so here is the moment. Are you going to receive what God has given? Are you going to receive what God has given? I'm challenging this little Hallmark Christmas thing that says, it is better to give than receive. I was like, no, that's not Christmas. It's better to receive what's been given. And if you'll receive what's been given, then you can give something that matters. The hope of God. You got to receive the hope of God. Everybody got that group? I got to receive that the hope of heaven is in this house. How many of y'all believe there is really a heaven? That there is something to this message? I don't know about you, but I believe there's a heaven. I live this way. So here's what I want to move you guys to, okay? I want to challenge you to this. This is real. There's a real manger. There's a real baby. It's a real happening. Now, some of you may have seen this in our culture today. There's a big billboard sign in several of our metropolitan cities. It has the picture of the nativity scene, and it says, everybody knows this is a what? Myth. So the atheists are making their statement about the birth of Jesus. I was asked this week, well, are you upset that they put that billboard up? I said, heavens, no. I said, it doesn't bother me a bit. I said, a lot of people that think it's a myth. And they said, what do you think about that? I said, they're going to go to hell, but there's a lot of people that think it's a myth. I said, so one day they're going to stand eyeball to eyeball with a myth. And here's the problem. When your myth becomes your reality, it's too late. Y'all get that? We close right now and have the invitation. When your myth becomes your reality, it's too late. Is it real? Well, you got to ask that every day. Is it real? How many of y'all believe truly Jesus is real? You know? And so I was in a little bit of a debate. Can y'all imagine a little bit of a debate? And they go, well, I believe somebody made it up. And I said, I do too. I said, I believe God made up the story of Jesus. And since God made up the story of Jesus, it is no longer a myth, but it is a reality to life. And Jesus will bring life. Pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah, a myth depends on the writer. So if God is the author, the story he writes becomes reality. And so welcome to Christmas. Now today we deal with joy. We deal with joy. So go with me to James, the letter of James in the New Testament, first chapter, third verse, or second verse. And we're going to hear a crazy line because we're going to see how times have changed. I don't know about you, but a few years back, several decades ago, if I had awakened to a morning like this, I would be filled with joy and excitement. Why? It's snowing! How many of y'all were like snow crazy people? When it snowed as kids, you were automatically happy. How many of y'all ever made snow cream? Yeah! See, some of y'all grew up, you're old, but you grew up. Yeah, this was back in the day when we didn't have, you know, Xbox, Z-Box, Y-Box. Y'all remember that day? It was crazy, Joe. Guess what? When I was a kid, you left at 6 in the morning and you came back at 6 in the evening. just roam through the neighborhood. You're going, oh, well, how'd they keep the kids from getting in trouble? All mothers worked for Central Intelligence Agency. And you were under surveillance constantly, even though you weren't aware that you were under surveillance. And we watched out for one another. But I remember when it snowed, man, when it started snowing, I would just be filled with great excitement. Kind of crazy. Then it may not have had that out of California because it didn't snow, did it? I bet you got excited even as adults first time you saw it snow, didn't you?
First time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's first time. Hold on. First time.
Now it's cold.
Well, you know what? Last night they started giving the blizzard report. Elizabeth's got one of those, you know, I-4. It's connected to NASA and everything else in his phone. Bling! I'm trying to watch something. Goes, bling! And she goes, there's a weather report right here. It's going to be a big snow. I said, you know what? We never had phones like that. We went to bed and we woke up the next morning. It snowed. We got out and brushed snow off the car. I said, why are you waiting? You know, well, what do you think's going to happen? I said, it's going to snow. Now we got weather reports. 2 inches will be here in the next 30 minutes. And then we got people going, oh, they missed it by 5 minutes. See, we try to predict life. True? And then there's the Chris Allen report. I wish Chris would put this text on. What do you think of me now? I got it right. First time in 25 years. Let's have a celebration. Oh, I pick on Chris. He gets it right. Where are you, Chris? He's in here somewhere. He's up in his booth. He gets it right sometimes. We all get it right, what? Sometimes. But guess who gets it right every time? Jesus. But it changes, doesn't it? When I was a kid, man, it got ready to snow. I'm going snow crazy. Now this morning I woke up and I went, well, hope everybody's going to be all right. Hope they get here safe. Hope nobody has a wreck. Hope this or that. It's cold. It's snowy. And I lost the joy of the day because I can't embrace the day. And so I want to start there. We lose our joy a lot because we won't embrace the day. The day. And because we won't embrace the day, sometimes we lose our joy. We won't embrace the seasons of life. To me, there is nothing really, this is crazy. How many of y'all have ever tried to be younger than you were? You try to go back and get those days. How many of y'all found that really you look goofier than you did even in that day? I was appalled this weekend. There was some kind of little Christmas show on, and it was doing Christmas at old times, and it was featuring the 80s. I'm like, what do you mean old days? How many of y'all at dawn, when you know, your kids come running, hey, we're having like throwback days. We're doing the 80s at school. I go, what do you mean throwback days? Those are current events. What do you mean? John Paul, what do you mean? I was watching our Christmas pageant. You know, when they brought out the 80s, everybody started laughing. I'm going, what I said, I still think hair like that looks pretty good if you just really let it grow on you. Think about it. Y'all remember those days, don't you? I mean, women had mall hair. I mean, it's out of here. Y'all remember the double wings y'all used to do? Snow would be caught in the middle of that funnel right there. You'd be adrift. And we were all, what? That was that day. But hold on. Let me show you what I'm trying to say. How many of you can't live in the day that you're in? You can't live in the day that you're in. We can't go back and get what was. But man, God's right here in this day. In this season of life, in this moment of time, and don't miss it. So I want to start here. You got to live. You got to live. And look at what James says. He says something that just really messes with a lot of us. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, not casual joy, not joy that has been corrupted, but pure, absolute joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. What? How many of y'all are going, what? That's the most anti-American verse in the Bible. Because that doesn't think like an American thinks at all, does it? Here, let me bring this up to a. If this was an American verse, it would say that. Consider it pure joy when everything goes your way today and nothing bothers you. That's a multi-billion dollar business. Billion with a B. How do I get life to go my way? Well, let me really help you with this. If life goes our way, we miss joy. Now, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, how many of y'all realize if you're breathing, you're facing a trial? If you're breathing, there's going to be some pressure on life. Somebody say, yeah. This morning you woke up, what'd you have to face? What was different? Come on, let's do Sesame Street. What was different about this Sunday morning than last Sunday morning? The weather. How many of y'all noticed this? The weather is always different. It's always different. The weather is always different. I was talking to one of the brothers after the 8 o'clock service, and he said that he had read a book on Colonel Sanders. How many of y'all remember Colonel Sanders? You know, finger licking good. That's one of the things we're known for in Kentucky. Wherever in the world you go from, you say, I'm from Kentucky, they'll know you for two things. Maker's Marked and Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now, don't put those two together or you'll lose your joy real quick, all right? But the colonel said this. He said, every day is a good weather day. It's just some days are a little better. Every day is a good weather day. Guess what the colonel had learned in all his great wisdom? I'm not going to change the weather, so I'm going to have to learn how to live in the weather of this day. And so why not make it good? I have a choice that I can find the goodness of the day, or I can find the things that I don't like. How many of y'all need to look to really work a little harder as you go through the day to embrace the great things in that day? Yeah, I mean, y'all glad you got here safely today. That doesn't mean you're going to get home safely, but right now you're that far along of the day. You got here what? All right. Anybody rejoice about that? How many of y'all saw some people? How many of y'all have some people in this? Boy, it's going to be a dangerous question. In this worship service that you actually like, you enjoy being around. I didn't say everybody. I said some. How many of y'all found some of you like, you know, I was glad to see them this morning. I was glad to be a part of them. If you're married to them, I hope that you really were glad to see them this morning. How many of y'all woke up this morning, you were glad you were still married? I do that every morning. I look over and I say, she's still there. She might have reason to leave, but she stayed. We're going to talk, huh? Still going, staying at it. Now, I want to get you ready for this thing called Christmas. Joy is a constant. And I'm really going to deconstruct something here. Happiness is not only overrated, it's a lie. I really believe this. Some of us live so hard to be happy, we never have any joy. It's just part of this cultural moment. We've sold the world unhappiness, right? I mean, you'll ever add running through the Christmas season says, be what? Be happy. That song even came out, you know, be happy. You know, y'all remember Wet Willie Band, you know, keep on smiling. We're going to be happy. Listen, life is not about being happy. So if that is your focus, you will always be miserable. Because happiness depends on the circumstance. Joy is God's revelation. Do you understand the difference? Joy is God's revelation in the day. Now, here's what I consider it pure joy, my brothers. Whenever you face trials of many kinds. Well, let's think about this for a minute. Did God face the difficulty of the human experience? Well, let's think about this. You just saw a beautiful rendition in this dance. What a beautiful dance. Man, our dancers did a great job. There at this little bitty baby. The world changes. Yeah? At this little bitty what? Baby. How many of y'all believe this? Jesus could have just kind of beamed himself down from heaven like they do in Star Trek. Now, if Jesus had been an American, he'd probably skipped the whole birth canal thing. True? I mean, just think about this. God wants us to understand something. He knows every detail of the human experience from conception to death. I mean, John Paul, he could have done that, right? God has the ability that Jesus just could have appeared as a 30-year-old rabbi, bling, or kind of like, you know, I dream a genie, boom, been here, delivered this fantastic message. But no, that's not the way God did it. God entered the difficulty. Hold on, I'm going to preach, Joe. He entered the difficulty of the human experience so the human experience might know the glory of God. And some of us don't understand the glory of God because when it comes to difficulty, what do we want to do? As soon as it gets difficult, what do we want to do? Run. Step away. Now, ladies, you all know this. There's difficulty in pregnancy. Hello? Now, I've never been pregnant. I've observed two pregnancies that were close to me. And my wife's a trooper. She just didn't go all... She's really a good woman. I got buddies and I said, my wife's just gone crazy being pregnant. They go, did your wife do that? I said, we don't have time to go through all those routines. I said, we were both working so hard, we don't have time to sit around and analyze our belly button. We just had to get it done. She had to be pregnant. You know, God's bringing life in. We had to get some other things done. Was it difficult? Yes. Now watch, some of you young people are looking at me like now with what I just said going, I can't believe you said that. That's offensive. You older people are going, yeah, it makes sense. That's the way we did it. I learned from my grandparents and my parents. They didn't talk about the things we talk about. Not one time have I heard my mother and father use this word, stress. Not one time. And they've been on the planet several decades. Not one time. I could never imagine my father coming home and going, well, I'll tell you what, the judge just stressed me out today. Sheriff, could you imagine my father saying such as that? I never heard him say, oh, it was just an overwhelming tough day. I just need to soak my feet. I wasn't raised in that either. When the baseball coach, you know, wore me out pretty good, I went home and I said, well, the baseball coach doesn't like me. Here's what I heard. Well, he shouldn't like you. He hadn't done nothing all day. So the reason he doesn't like you is because you don't catch the ball. Oh. The reason he doesn't like you is because you're out there swatting bugs in the outfield instead of paying attention. Because guess what I was doing? Swatting bugs. I mean, what a bad place to put a kid who can't pay attention. The outfield. That's why I don't like baseball. I mean, this was the extent of my outfield play. Because in farm league, who's going to hit the ball out there? Nobody. Nobody. They did hit it out there one time. Yep. Right over to me. And guess what I was doing? Swatting bugs. That's why I played football. Because if you run around swatting bugs on the football field, the coach don't have to take you out. Boom. Embrace the what? Day. Know that difficulty is reality. Now, here's what he's saying. The joy of the Lord comes through our difficulties. Think about this for a minute. Karen did not, Mary, have to ride on a donkey into the city of Bethlehem. Difficult. I've never been pregnant, but I can't imagine that a donkey ride would be real comfortable 9 months pregnant. I've ridden on a donkey before, and that's not like a Tennessee Walker. Them suckers ain't got it. They do this. Now, can you imagine being pregnant? I'm talking for 50, 60 miles doing this. Guess what Mary did? She rode the donkey. You know why? Check this out. What was literally inside of her was greater than what was going on outside of her. Deanna, from the moment that the Holy Spirit conceived God's grace in you, from that moment, what is inside of you is greater than what will ever occur outside of you. And that's in all of us that have received grace. Is that, Just tell your neighbor what's inside of me is pretty powerful. Go ahead and tell them that. Come on. Tell them. Come on, tell them. Y'all look like snow's froze your brains up today. Come on, talk. Tell them. What's inside of me? Hold on. How many of y'all believe that? What's inside of me is greater than anything I will see outside of me. Because what's inside of me only God can do. Hold on. What was inside Mary? Something that only God could what? Do. That's pretty cool, isn't it? See, a lot of times we just come to church and go, well, that's a cute story. You know that story about that pregnant woman, Mary, and Joseph, and them donkeys. If you're Kentucky, they're them donkeys. Those donkeys, if you're from up north. But those donkeys just don't sound like them donkeys. You know what I mean? And they had a little manger thing and a straw thing to put him in there. And the angels sang in the heavenly host in silent night, oh holy night. Norman Rockwell did not create the gospel. It was chaotic. It was difficult. And in the midst of chaotic and difficult, in the midst of trials, in the midst of tax day, in the midst of life going haywire, in the midst of governments controlling people and all of these things, Jesus comes to earth. God comes to us. God comes in us and he gets out of us and the world is changed. Consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy. Look what happens. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know, here's what happens. What do those trials do? They test us. How many of y'all glad to be tested? Pastor Mark Hale, Dr. Hale said this one time about 10 years ago, and God just gave him this word, and it's absolute truth. A faith not tested cannot be trusted. You're going to have moments your faith is tested. Well, guess what? It can be trusted. Did Mary persevere? Yeah, but guess what? I say this. God persevered in Mary. God preserved Mary. God gave Mary the key. God allowed Joseph to go on. God is bringing himself in. And God will use you in the day. So here's what I'm encouraging you to do. Please. Don't be so focused this next 2 weeks on being happy that you lose your joy. How many of y'all make that mistake in life? I remember it was a few years back. Now, it was a lot of years back now. Elizabeth and I were young, married, second year pastoring this church. We're out in the country. We get this big idea that we're going to have everybody in the church. Now, I mean, wasn't that many, but everybody in the church, we're going to have a Christmas open house. So Elizabeth, being the diligent host that she is in this house that we were renting, she said, honey, you really need to change the linoleum in this bathroom of this house. There's only one problem with changing the linoleum in the bathroom. You had to take the commode out to change the linoleum. Now, I have some skills. I'm good at taking things apart. I have no ability of putting them back like they were. So here we are the day before the open house. It's on a Saturday. The open house is on a Sunday. And instead of rejoicing that we're going to get to hang out with all the people from church, it's going to be a great thing. I am madder than a hornet. Because instead of watching a football game that day, I have listened to my wife and I have a toilet in the front yard of our house. A toilet. So I laid the linoleum down. That wasn't too difficult. I knew how to cut out the place from the toilet. However, I didn't know how to hook toilets back up. In case y'all ever take your toilet out, I just want you to know it's not as simple as just sitting it back down. Because I just sat it back down there. I figured toilet hole, you know how it all works. And I hooked the water back up to it. Well, I gave it a trial flush. We had a problem, Houston. I came to learn there's a seal that must be sealed on the toilet. And it was kind of that gooky stuff that I had pulled off and thrown away because I thought that was just nasty. So now at about 5 o'clock that afternoon, let me remind you, at 12:30, 1 o'clock, we got people from church coming over the house. And I'm wondering what they're going to think about the young reverend and his wife because they have a toilet in their front yard. And you know who calls this? Elizabeth. The toilet was working fine. The linoleum was working fine. But no, it had to be changed. I thought, like, what are people going to do? Open our bathroom door and go, man, they need some new linoleum in here. I mean, people don't think like that. Only wives think like that. So now I'm starting to panic. It's 7 o'clock. I got some head. Hey, boys, don't nod your heads too much now. It's snowing today and it's a long, cold walk back to the house. All right. But yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't know how to fix the toilet. So I'm at the mercy of a good friend of mine that knows how to fix stuff. I called him. I said, listen, I got a dilemma. He said, do you know the football game's on? I said, I know. I know. But I said, I need your help in the name of Jesus. I brought the Lord into it. He said, what's the problem? I said, I got a toilet in my front lawn. He said, well, just pull it in the house. I said, I put it in there and it's leaking everywhere. Now, you thought the linoleum was bad. Just let some old sister from the church go in there and flush and create the fount that floweth throughout the house. That'd be embarrassing. He said, did you put a new seal on it? I said, what's a seal? He said, I'll be over there after the game. Let me help you with this. 12:30 at night. Let me remind you, I work on Sundays. 12:30 at night. You know what I'm doing, Harold? Putting a toilet in our house. And guess what the temperature happened to be? 10 degrees. You know what a toilet does on the front yard when it turns to 10 degrees? Sticks. So I'm out there with hot water, midnight, pouring hot water around it. Now watch this. I'm going to tell you something. That whole next day, I did not enjoy the open house. You know what? Every time I saw somebody open my bathroom door and I saw that and know him, guess what I thought of? That toilet. That toilet robbed my joy. Then I got in a big fight with Elizabeth in the middle of the afternoon. In fact, I slammed a screen door. We had one of them old farmhouse. We had one of the screen door. Bam! One of the ladies at church said, Elizabeth, I heard Pastor Steve over there yelling. What was he yelling about? She said, just don't even get me into it. She goes, well, it sounded like there was a gunshot. She said, you mean you thought there was a gunshot and you didn't come over there and see what was happening? I lost my total joy over a what? How many of y'all done stuff like that? How many of y'all will be just absolutely mad Christmas Day because some decoration doesn't sit on the mantle just like it's supposed to? Or the tree. We about had one last night. Elizabeth got her this new tree. She's a tree woman. And she said, can you put the star on the tree? Well, she goes and buys an industrial strength star. So I get on this thing and I'm like this up here and I'm about ready to have a Christmas tragedy. And I finally, you know, I kind of feel like that big, what was that little Christmas show? It had the big abominable monster looking dude. You know what I'm talking about? You remember that? Huh? Rudolph. What was the guy's name? Abominable Snowman. That's what I thought. Remember he put the star on a tree when he got nice and lost his ice teeth. Y'all remember these things? I put the star on and guess what the star did on the tree last night? Elizabeth looked at me and I said, listen, I really don't want to engineer a system to put this star up. I said, I really think the star was from heaven. And let's just let heaven put the star on the tree this year. She goes, you've been pretty good about everything else. I think I'm going to let that one slide this time. But hold on. How many of y'all, come on, y'all know the point I'm making. We get so many little things to have a happy holiday that we don't have a joyous one. And we do that in life a lot, too. If I don't have this or that, I can't be happy. Baloney. The Bible says this is the day the Lord has made and he is in the day and he is God. And here's the great news that we have. God will be God no matter what goes on down here. That's absolute truth. God's not shocked at anything that goes on. Now let me help you. How many of y'all listen to the news? Here's where it messes with you. How many of y'all believe it? You see, we forget something about the news. When we hear the news, sometimes we forget to hear the angels singing the good news. And our news gets louder than the what? Good news. Good news to men. Good news to humanity. Good news to the world. We can get through. Now, how many of y'all want to activate your faith this week? Activate your joy this week. Activate your hope this week. Stay in the peace of God. We've got two things you got to unwrap today. First of all, you got to ask God for a little wisdom. Amen. Now, guess what I do today? Now that I'm older, Elizabeth said, we need to redo the bathroom. I said, we'd do that after Christmas. And if she looked at me, she said, no, we need it done now. I said, honey, here's what's going to happen. We're going to have an open house, and there's going to be a toilet at the end of the road. Now, do you want me to put some lights on it out there? What do you want me to do? We've already had this episode. Amen? We've already seen this story. How many of you all found this? When you get a little more story, check this out. That's what I mean. You live a little more life. You get a little more story. You'll see that God has always touched your story. God was with Mary. He was so with Mary, he was in her, just like he is us. God was with Joseph every step of the way, and nobody has defeated this baby. James tells us this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Because we know that the testing of your faith develops what? Perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. First of all, God desires you not lack anything. And here's what I want you to know. We forget this. It's just easy to forget. God's given you everything. It's true. God's given you everything. Forgiveness, love, hope, spiritual giftedness, abilities, life itself. Live. Live. And here's why I tell you all to live and to embrace the joyous things in life, because none of us are staying here. Do you hear me? We're not staying here permanently. And we think we are. I mean, that's one of the things the devil does. You better go. We're not staying here forever. So we better understand forever why we're here. He has the name. Jesus. Who? Jesus. How many of y'all glad to know you don't have to be lacking? So here's what I'm saying. Don't just get through. Find the joy in the day. Find the joy in the day. How many of y'all found some joy this morning? Should have. How many of y'all had windshield wipers and got the snow off your car? Hold on. How many of y'all had a back window defroster? Yeah, they didn't have those 20 years ago. How many of y'all had a back windshield wiper? Didn't have those 25 years ago. You went out there and just brushed it and scraped it. How many of y'all even had a remote start and you got to start it in the house and warm it up before you went out there? Huh? How many of y'all got to drink some coffee or had something nice and warm before you got here? How many of y'all glad you got up? I mean, you actually got up. You opened your eyes, you went, hey, I'm alive today. Well, what are you going to do with that? See, there's a lot of things to be joyful about, but we tend to always look at what we don't want have. You know what's amazed me is how old people can make, when I was a kid at Christmas, it just amazed me how old people can get excited about the simplest things, like under drawers. How many of y'all, all the older people, you remember Christmas? How many of y'all got some under, I mean, you don't have to raise your hand, but I mean, we've all had it. You get some under drawers. You know what I'm talking about? Some underwear for Christmas. I mean, like when I was a kid, you know, if I got a pair of Superman underwear, I want the good presents. But older people be amazing, you know. These are some of the best looking jockey white boxers I've ever seen. I'm like, yeah, they only made 5 million of them this year. You get a pack, you know, five for $10 at Dollar General store. Boxers. You know what they were able to do? Embrace what? A moment. I'm glad I got to see them do it. Because guess what I get for Christmas now? Socks. Socks. You know, when you're getting socks, the end is coming. If you're down to socks, When it's socks and underdrawers, you're starting to hear what your mama said back to when you was a kid. I mean, y'all's mama do that. If you grew up in the South, mamas would always do it in the South. Get ready to go out somewhere. You got clean underdrawers on? I always wonder what mattered. Finally, what if you're in a wreck? I don't think I'm going to have no clean underdrawers if I'm in a wreck, you know? I never figured these things out we do in the South. Like the doctor's going to care. Boys messed up pretty bad, but there's some good-looking Fruit of the Looms that sucker got on. I'm telling you, I'm sorry to derail like that. Every once in a while, I regress. I want you to really look at life. It's real. It's not Hallmark, and I'm not busting on Hallmark, but you know what Hallmark tries to do? Create a life that never exists. Even worse than that, a lot of us want to live in one of those snow globes. We want to shake it up and it look perfect and nice. You know, snow's white right now. What does snow turn into?
Yellow.
Well, sometimes yellow. Y'all think I regress. Black, dirty, slushy after a while after we run. But for that first moment of snow, it's just what? Just pretty. How many of y'all looked at snow and said, that's pretty today? I did for a few minutes. And then I went adult. Well, I bet there won't be many people here today. I mean, it's snowing. A lot of people this morning, they woke up and said, well, Lord, it's snowing. I know you're not the Lord of the snow. We better sleep late today. A lot of y'all went, let's go to church. And some of y'all who had four-wheel drive trucks, you said, by gosh, I'm glad I get to go to church days. I want to get out and see how this baby runs. You still got some of you hidden rednecks in it. Look at Joseph. Just wearing a J. Crew shirt, wanting to go mudding in his four-wheeler. It's all right, Joseph. Secretly, everybody wants to be a Kentuckian. He wants to come out of it. Yeah. I loved the snow when I was a teenager. Sheriff cover years. First thing we did, got in those four-wheel drive trucks. This is back when four-wheel drive truck was four-wheel drive truck. Joe, we didn't have any push button lock your four-wheel in. We got outside in our boots. By gosh, we locked them big Warner hubs in. And we didn't have no little tires. I had big old tires on mine, but they're big. Big old mudders. Had a 400 big block. It left a carbon plant print that was larger than Al Gore's jet print. It got 3 miles to the gallon. But let me tell you what, it would go through Drake's Creek with a skim of ice on it all the way in and all the way out. And we were prideful. After we took it through that rig, guess where we parked it? The school parking lot with nothing but a square in the windshield. Because guess what you were telling everybody? We got dirty. And guess what that meant in the world? Nothing. But guess what it meant for us that day? Wow, what a moment. How many of y'all have done some stupid things to be happy? Hold on, let that simmer just a minute. Here's what it says, persevere. Now, there are two things I'm going to give you. Persevere. You want to find joy? Please, write this down. We've got some young people in here. I want y'all to pray these young people get this. Never quit. Never. You got that, guys? Whatever you start, you got to finish. You say, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. The teacher doesn't like me. Now, you don't understand. There'll be a lot of people don't like you throughout life. Never what? Quit. That's what perseverance is. I'm going to stay with it no matter what. Because you know what's going to come out of it? Joy. How many of y'all ever felt like quitting college? I remember this time of year, every semester, I was quitting. Judy, I hate to tell you that, but I was. I'd go see my dad, and I'd say, Dad, I'm done. I've told y'all this story before. But, I mean, it's the rhythm of life. It's called perseverance. I was quitting. When Elizabeth got married, her and I got married, about this time of year we got married, what was I doing with school? What did I tell you? I'm quitting. Elizabeth, I'm tired of this. Lord, I can figure out how to make more money than these professors do anyway. I'd go see my dad, and guess what he'd always say? Why don't you go one more semester and quit after that? Now, I was not the brightest child he had of the four. Guess what happened? I ran out of semesters. I even went to him last semester. He goes, I'm going to quit this semester. He said, you can. He said, why? He said, you're going to graduate. I said, oh. You know what? And I was glad to have graduated. Because there was a distinct possibility that might not happen in my life. But I had some other people. I didn't do it by myself. I had some other people encourage me. If I was left to my own, I'd have never experienced that joy. Now get the joy of the Lord. Amen. Stay in the joy of the Lord. Let me give you two things. Persevere and then this. Ask God for some wisdom. Wisdom brings on joy. Isn't that interesting? He'd talk about joy, talk about perseverance, and then he says, you better receive this gift along with it. If you will, the batteries of joy are wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask what? He should ask God, who does what? Gives generally to all without finding fault. And it will be what? Given to him. How many of y'all glad to know you got a generous God? How many of y'all ask for wisdom? That's something that's not on our list much. I hear people pray to God like this. Dear Lord, just make my children happy. I just want everybody to be happy. Let's all just be happy. Up and away. You know, in our magical balloon, sailing through life. We smoked some dope in the 60s, folks, I'm telling you. And it has affected 60 years of life and mentality. Tell me it doesn't have any effect. It skews the mind where people want to be happy. And as they want to be happy, then they're miserable with everybody else when they don't get what they want. And guess what they miss? The day the Lord has made. You miss enough of those, you call that a depressed life. You receive enough of those, you call that a life lived in faith. Two things activate it. Get the wisdom of God. It'll improve your joy factor. True? And secondly, don't doubt it. Mary didn't doubt it. Joseph didn't doubt it. The wise men didn't doubt it. The shepherds didn't doubt it. Those after that didn't doubt it. Look what it says. Embrace and believe God will. But when he asks, he must what? Believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like the wave of a sea blown and tossed by the wind. So activate your joy by two things. The wisdom that God will give you. Live it out. And don't doubt it. God will deliver. Amen. I'm finished. Did y'all get this today? We're done on time. It only happens when it snows. But guess what? There's some of you today, man. God brought you through the snow for one reason today. He would love to come into your life. How many of y'all glad to know that God wants to come into your life? He doesn't want to be beside you. He wants to be in you. Now listen, please get this today. If you've never done this, please. It is time. Amen. Why would you sit there and live a joyless life when God will place joy in you? I don't get it. Now, did I say you're going to be happy all the time? No, because you're not going to be happy all the time. But is joy available constantly? Yes. Joy is. Joy. It's available. Some of you today need to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I reckon with that. I understand that I've not done what you want me to do, Lord Jesus. And I'm asking you right now to come into my life, Jesus. Think about this miracle we get to hear every Sunday. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. Does it get any better than that? Somebody tell me, what's better than that? Nothing. In the name of Jesus, I stake everything I got on this message. He died on the cross and he's risen from the grave. Everything. That's the only message I got. Sunday after Sunday. I tell you that Sunday after Sunday because that's the only message I got, Ken. I don't have another message. I don't have plan B. You know why? I don't have to. Because plan A is enough. How many of y'all today, some of you today, there's going to be some people today that say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. You ever done that? Now, hear what I'm asking you. I didn't ask you if you've been to church. I didn't ask you if you're a Baptist. I didn't ask you if your grandmama had taken some pies to some sick person. I said, have you reckoned with Jesus and received the grace that he wants to give you? Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. You want to start Christmas? Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my what? Sin. He'll forgive anybody in here today. I saw it right there in Scripture. Stokes said, if we would ask for wisdom, he will give generously to all that will ask. How many today need a little joy revival in your life? Yeah. We got a lot more going on. I'm going to tell you what. I got to preach for just a second. If the church would just express the joy of the Lord, the witness that we would have, we ought to be the hottest people on earth. We ought to have the most incredible marriages on earth. We ought to have the hottest lives on earth. We ought to, we've just sold out to all this stuff of the world. Just stuff. Stuff. I don't know about you. I love this place. I love to be here on Sunday morning. Not because I talk. I love it because guess what? Somebody's going to meet Jesus today. And I want to wake you up to this. When you see somebody come to this altar in a second, and you see them receive Jesus Christ, you're witnessing an act that only God can do. No man can cause that. No government can cause that. No celebrity can cause that. Only Jesus. And I'm glad to know there's some only Jesus stuff still out here. Amen. So, man, let's just open this up. Y'all stand with me. Come on. Let's let this altar happen today. Some of you have asked me about baptism. We're going to have every Christmas Eve, we have a large baptismal service. Some of you have asked me, can I get baptized on Christmas Eve? Yes, but we need to come forward and you let us know that you're going to do that so that we can get you lined up for that incredible experience. Some of you need to come and just pray today and say, Lord, release the joy. Watch this. You know what you're actually praying today? Lord, release the joy you've already given to me in salvation. All right, y'all going to let it happen today? I mean, God's going to do it anyway. You going to be a part of it? Well, let's pray. Lord, there's some people here today for the first time going to receive you. And we pray. We give thanks for that already. God, I'm glad that snow will not cancel out your grace, nor your movement, nor the worship from your people. And so, Lord, just bring us to the altar today. Bring that hope, that wisdom, that perseverance, that unwavering spirit into our consciousness this week. And let us live it out. Let us live it out among you. So, Lord, I thank you for all these beautiful people that you've brought forward. All right, listen, if you know the Holy Spirit's calling you, come on, we want to talk to you. He's already saved you. We just want to celebrate with you. If you've never been baptized, you say, Pastor, I got baptized when I was a little baby. Hey, you know what? That means your mom and daddy wants you to get saved. There is no shame in saying, you know what? I want to confirm in baptism what my mama and daddy desired for me. So come on, church. It is wide open today. It's wide open today. Come on, let the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, the reality of God touch you right now. Come on, in the name of Jesus, this altar is open. It's open. Come on, come on, come on, come on. People getting touched by God today. Come on.
Reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. And your righteousness is like mighty mountains. Your justice flows like the ocean's tide. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. I will find my strength in the shadows of your wings. In the shadows of your wings. Your
Pray with me, Lord. If anybody needs to be drawn to this altar today, come on. We're just going to keep it open for a minute. Baptism, you need to talk about that. You want to receive Jesus into your life. You know God's spoken to you today and you want to receive that. Come on. Come on, don't stand there today. You know what amazes me? Reynolds, we've talked about a solution today to a lot of the things we complain about every day. And look at how few people came to the altar today and said, God, release the joy in me. Now, if I was a doctor up here peddling happy pills, son, it'd be full. Here's the problem. I'm not opposed to happy pills other than this. They don't last long enough. But follow my illustration. Don't get hung up. I'm talking eternal joy. I'm talking about the reality of God forever and ever. I'm not talking about moments. I'm talking about forever. Are you connected to a forever God today? We're going to leave the altar open for just a second. If somebody needs to come, and receive Christ, somebody needs to talk about baptism, let's do that right now. Lord, I pray that you move this altar. You move it in your way, God. You open it up in your way. For just a moment, sing one more verse there, brother.
Your love, oh Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like mighty mountains. Your justice flows like the ocean's tide.
All right, here's the challenge. We have a hope in God. There is the peace and the reality of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now go release the joy. It's where? In you. So go let it out this week, all right? Thanks for being here. Please drive carefully and slowly on the way back home, all right? Love you.